that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Am I trying this right now? It's good. This one got the deal sign right here.
All right, call in the closer to get the deal done for Mike Williams and the New York Jets.
It's the jersey closer. That's the jersey closer right here. Let me just, Mike, go ahead.
First of all, good morning. It's PFT Live, yada, 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 Peacock, yada, yada, Sirius XM85, Sky Sports, Action Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. We're here for the next 2 hours. You know the drill by now. Okay, so would you eat something that just shows up at your house that somebody sent and you have no idea who sent it and no idea where it came from? I sure as hell would not.
No, I probably would not, but this is a guy that, you know, ate a burger off a floor, so I don't really have much ground to stand on, counselor. But no, generally, you're right. I don't know that person. I don't know where this is from. Why would I just open it up and eat it? I'm not like that. That would be a tough sell for me. It definitely would be.
Especially something that comes to the Jets facility, because if it's a Jets fan and maybe it's intended for Woody Johnson, the degree of potential adulteration increases depending upon who it is. There's the proof of the order that was sent by NYJ Matt.
What up, NYJ Matt?
A Taylor ham, egg, and cheese sandwich to the facility for Mike Williams. Say this is for Mike Williams and let him know catching passes from Aaron Rodgers is more fun than catching from Bryce Young. So that was the pitch. And what is a Taylor egg and cheese sandwich?
That it's a staple. It's a jersey sandwich, right? I'm not an egg guy. You know that. I've said that to you before. I don't like eggs, so it's never been a part of my diet, right? But growing up in New Jersey, you know, the Taylor ham to go with the egg and the cheese and the sandwich is like the biggest thing going. It really is. It's kind of like the New Jersey breakfast, right? Go to the diner. What, you know, what diner do you have in your town, right? Jersey's got tons of diners and family-owned restaurants like that. Oh, I go to this diner. They got a great Taylor egg and Taylor ham egg and cheese sandwich, right? So everybody's got their spot that they like, and I guess this is where I'm not even sure of the specifics. I think it's just the Taylor ham thing is different, right, than most places in the way they do it. Everybody has egg sandwiches, we know, but Taylor ham's a specific ham that popular in Jersey goes with this sandwich, and yeah, it's a big deal there. So yeah, he's officially in Jersey now. He knows that.
So it's not Taylor ham egg and cheese sandwich, it's Taylor ham egg and cheese sandwich.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's Taylor ham, right, egg and cheese sandwich. Exactly right. Yeah, you're right. It kind of sounds like it's all one thing there. But, I like ham. I certainly do. But like I told you, the eggs. But like growing up, you know, you go to school and you'd see, walking up from the parking lot to go to the school, and you'd see a handful of kids going, oh, they just stopped by there and got a Taylor ham and egg and cheese sandwich and went on with it. And, you know, they're eating it out of the tinfoil just like he does. It's breakfast on the go for the working man in Jersey.
I'd want to be sure that Taylor wasn't, you know, the guy that didn't pay his debts on time, given... You know,
yeah, if you're given a jersey, right?
I mean,
right.
I don't know. You know, there's an episode of The Sopranos where a guy ends up getting cut up at Satrial's. You never know. Maybe some of that ends up on a sandwich and it ends up tasting pretty good to somebody. And the next thing you know, you got a Taylor ham, egg and cheese. I'd want to do the full research on that. Apart from that, and I'm kidding, of course. Apart from that, I'm not eating anything that just shows up at my house. I am not doing it. Now, you know, it's not like you have, when you get food from a restaurant, a 100% guarantee that somebody hasn't done something to it. I had a lawsuit or two that I handled back during my legal days involving potential adulteration of foodstuffs by folks working at a fast food restaurant. But still, food shows up, foreign food, no idea who this person is that had it set, how it got here. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would at least be a little bit leery, but it didn't stop Mike Williams from taking a bite, and it apparently got the deal done. That's really the headline.
That's it.
Mike Williams joins
the
New York Jets. He was cut last week by the Chargers in lieu of paying him $20 million for 2024, coming off of a torn ACL suffered early last season in what was his last season with the Chargers. He's one of the handful of guys that was drafted before Patrick Mahomes. He'll always have that distinction. Seventh overall by the Chargers in 2017. Now he's playing with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. And when you look at the depth chart, the receiver depth chart for the Jets, they really did, Chris, have a glaring
right.
lead. Alan Lazard was a disaster last year. Maybe he'll be better if Rodgers is playing. But it was bad last year. Healthy scratch for the Black Friday game, I think it was, just because he was leapfrogged by undrafted rookie free agents. They needed help on that receiving core, and they get it with Mike Williams.
Yeah, they definitely do. Get a guy who, you know, when healthy, is a pain in the butt. That's for sure, right? You said it. They needed the player, the proven commodity, as I always say. You can't look at anybody on there, you know, other than Lazard and Garrett Wilson and go, oh, well, we can depend on him. There's some potential guys. But Mike Williams, I mean, he serves a role, and especially for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's such a great thrower at back shoulder throws, right? That's where Mike Williams, the size of the human being, you know, being 6'4", being a guy that can stretch the defense and work downfield, catch the ball over the middle. That's where there's going to be great value. We know that, like, Garrett Wilson's going to be the go-to guy. They're going to formulate a lot of the offense around him. But Mike Williams is one of those guys, again, that can do a little bit of everything. But most importantly, he's kind of like, hey, he's an X receiver. You can line him outside by himself and go, hey, he can beat the better corners in football one-on-one. And even if he doesn't beat him, he's kind of one of those guys, even if he's covered, he's not covered. You still throw him the ball. But I do, and to your point, Mike, with Alan Lazard, I think this makes Alan Lazard better, right? Alan Lazard's not a number two. That's not who he is, right? This is what we argued up in Green Bay when we were going, they need more support from Rodgers. Alan Lazard in the perfect world is a really, really good number three. And now he can be that. He's not going to be dependent on having to win outside against the good corners. He'll be able to work the middle of the field a little bit more, which is what he does. And then you got Wilson and Mike Williams on the outside. And I think that's going to help Alan Lazard, let alone Mike Williams is going to help out the whole offense and Aaron Rodgers.
Lazard's got $10 million guaranteed coming to him this year, fully
right.
and completely guaranteed as part of the deal he signed last year. The Williams deal reportedly is worth up to $15 million. Let me tell you something. I put this on Twitter yesterday, or X, or whatever. Up to is doing a lot of work this week. Up to, that's the way now that, like, because maybe some of the reporters got sensitive because some jerk was saying that they just pass along bullcrap without asking questions, and they end up lying to the audience and they view it as an occupational hazard. You throw on up to and you can cover up a lot of stuff. Like the Tyron Smith deal, the tackle signed by
Holy
the Jets
cow.
On Friday.
Right.
Up to $20 million. We had the full breakdown of PFT yesterday. It is $6.5 million, and he's got to hit playing time benchmarks to get his money. Separate and apart from a $1.5 million incentive package based on playoff wins and Pro Bowl, it's all playing time, all the way up to 98%. He's got to be in 98% of the offensive snaps to get his full playtime incentive to get 6.5, anywhere close to 20. So anytime you see the words, kids, up to, I mean, it's two bits of advice right out of the gates today. Number one, don't eat food that shows up at your house unless you know who cooked it. And number two, anytime you see up to in the report, presume that the real number is a lot lower than whatever the up to amount is.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what the Jets got here is, you know, two guys, Mike Williams less than Tyron Smith, where you go, if they stay healthy, they will be great additions to the team. But of course, there's the if factor. And I think there's definitely more of the if factor with Tyron Smith. Definitely. But the Jets have made appropriate moves on the offensive line, and I'm sure they're not done yet, and we'll see where the draft goes too. Maybe they do something there as well. But Mike Williams, you know, you said second week ACL injury, it's the time of the year that you'd go, well, I think he'd be, you know, okay, and maybe not 100% for training camp at the start of the season, but not too far off from it, having that much time. So that's where you'll like it too, right? And I think the Jets, you know, they might have struck gold here with getting a guy like this. This guy, when he is healthy, he is a explosive, down-the-field, playmaking type of receiver. He's got very good speed for being as big as he is, so he can stretch the field. Look at, you know, here's great examples right here. Way to go, guys, in the back, right on point here. I mean, look at the yards per catch. Look what he's doing when he's getting it. 48, he had, you know, 1 year he had 49 catches for 1,000 yards. I mean, that's insane numbers when you start to throw it out there. It tells you he can work down the field, catch the deep balls, do all of that. Now, the big thing is, too, when I go with Mike Williams, he'll be good, you know, intermediate slants, all that, right? He's good in that way, and we know Aaron Rodgers likes to do that. Will Aaron Rodgers take advantage of what he can do down the field? Right, the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers on the field healthy in Green Bay, our big complaint, right, anybody that kind of you talk to in football too, is Rodgers lacks the aggressiveness to let it fly into some tight windows and take advantage of big plays that are there. He plays too careful. You know, hopefully a guy like Mike Williams will break him out of the shell with a good O-line that protects him. You know, I think that'll be necessary for the Jets to be a real player in the AFC.
And because we are committed to full and complete accuracy and transparency here at PFT Live, it was a week 3 injury, not trying to be.
Oh, sorry. All good. Yeah, I got you.
Just want to make sure we
get
this.
Awesome.
Because, look, September 24 is when it happened.
Right.
Here's the reality, Chris. Regardless of whether it was week 2, week 3, whatever, we've seen plenty of guys who take a full year before they're back to who they were.
Right.
And we just don't know. And I don't know the Jets can know. There's no physical examination you can do. There's no MRI that's going to tell you this guy is going to come back and be the guy he was before the injury right away, that he's not going to need a year to do it. But you know what? The guy had other visits lined up, Carolina and Pittsburgh, if he left the Jets. And remember last year what happened to the Jets.
Yeah.
They thought Odell Beckham Jr. was showing up.
Right.
The Ravens picked him off before he could even get there. They get Mike Williams in the building. They don't want it to blow up on them again. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a conversation at some level of the organization about what happened last year. We thought Beckham was coming in and we lost him. We're not going to lose it this time. We've all been through that in our lives in some capacity, whether it's, man, we almost got that house and we didn't get it. Next time, we're not going to screw around. Almost got that car and didn't get it. Almost got that other thing and didn't get it. Next time, we're not going to screw around. And I feel like this time they weren't going to screw around. They were going to get a guy to help the offense, to help Aaron Rodgers. And I think it does close the door on OBJ, but who knows at this point? Maybe they do find a way to bring him in as well. It wouldn't completely stun me, but he's not going to get what he got last year.
No,
he got
definitely
$15 million guaranteed last year.
Right.
Williams is getting up to $15 million. He's going to have to play a lot, I assume, catch some passes more than a few to unlock whatever it is that gets him to the 15 mil.
I would think so, right? I mean, Mike, what's your guesstimation about what it really is? $10 million contract, right? With maybe all the incentives and everything like that. You know, is it lower than that? Is it 8 or
9? I'd put the over under at 9.5.
Okay.
I'd put the over under at 9.5 because that's the spot where I really wouldn't know, and I'd be inclined to go under. I'll say 8.5 over under because then I really don't know whether to go over or under with everything else in the form of playing time. It had to be enough, though, to get him to take it. That's the thing. It can't be the Tyron Smith deal. I don't know if I mentioned this on Friday or Monday. Monday. The deal happened Friday night. The Jets didn't think he was going to take it. I caught wind that they were talking to him the day before, but they didn't think he was going to take it because it was a low ball, heavy incentive. There's no way he's going to take this. It's just a leverage deal to try to get somebody to offer him better, and then he takes it. Like, holy crap, he took it. So I doubt that was the case with Mike Williams because he was still going to go to Carolina and then Pittsburgh. It had to be enough to get him. Or maybe the sandwich did, though. I don't know.
Well, sandwich. And get it, maybe get in the ballpark. You know, you are New York. It's the Jets. It's Aaron Rodgers. As long as you're in the ballpark or close. If I'm like a guy like Mike Williams, I'm going, well, ballpark close. Wait, Carolina, whoa, they got a lot of work to do. I don't know if that's going to help me strike it rich for next year after this one-year deal. Pittsburgh, you know, I'm not sure there either, right? You don't know either, right? I mean, if you're being a player and putting yourself in Mike Williams' shoes, New York's the safe bet. It's the safe bet, right? It's not perfect, but I think for the situation and what he had available to him, it's the safest out of those three. And then, you know, you talk about, well, I can play with Aaron Rodgers, and if he's healthy, right, you know, watch out. I could put up the type of numbers to where, hey, next year I can get back to $20 million a year type of payday. And I think that's probably what Mike Williams had on his radar as well, just the fit and what he can maximize out of that fit.
And he was averaging $20 million a year, and it came down to that last year with the Chargers. They ripped it up instead of keeping him around for that $20 million. And you see why they weren't able to trade him. No one was going to take on the $20 million commitment sight unseen without understanding where he is, without having some protections in there. Like this deal for the Jets has, with a lower number that can be inflated to 15 based upon presumably playing time, performance, factors of that nature. Now, let's flip it over to the Chargers, though, because remember, it was last week when it became clear that they had four big-name guys who were available, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. They end up cutting Williams, trading Allen to the Bears for a fourth-round pick. Other teams supposedly were interested. Allen said that the Texans and the Jets were possibilities for him. Hey, the Chargers get rid of Allen to Chicago, and the other guy, Mike Williams, ends up with the Jets instead. But who's going to catch passes now from Justin Herbert?
That's a good question. I mean, listen, I think, again, with their football team and what the way Jim Harbaugh wants to play, he's not all about, ooh, let me just find sexy receivers and play that way, right? It's going to be smash-mouth football, right? We're going to control the line of scrimmage. We're going to, you know, we're going to be high percentage passes with the occasional shot down the football field and do it that way. I mean, they sit there right now, and I know I wanted to pull up my roster, and I lost my damn roster here as far as the Chargers. They got Joshua Palmer, right, as we sit here right now. But after that, it's an unproven rookie and Quentin Johnson, who they took out of TCU last year, who has a lot of Mike Williams-type qualities, right? But he's raw. He's raw. TCU, they only ran three routes, right? So last year he kind of got thrusted into the fire probably a little bit before they wanted him to, right? But that's going to be the guy that you hope can go, wait, can he take the next step and become a number one receiver here? And help out the offense and be Justin Herbert's go-to target. You know, the rest of the crew is, you know, like I said, Joshua Palmer's got something to him there. He's got a little talent, so that's good to have him there as well. But I would think, again, the draft with the receivers that I saw, we broke down yesterday, I would, again, try to be thinking that they're going to be heavy players in the draft for maybe two receivers. You know, when it's all said and done by the time the fifth round comes around.
The folks at OurLads.com do a great job of keeping an up-to-date depth chart projected. It's not official, obviously. The teams don't give us anything until preseason, and even then they have all sorts of disclaimers that were just put together by PR, and then you get into the regular season and you know who's fitting where. There's four receivers
yeah.
on the roster now right. that show up on this depth chart. Quentin Johnson, Joshua Palmer, Darius Davis, and Simi Fehoko. That's it. So they're going to have to do something. They're sitting there at number five in round one. Marvin Harrison Jr. may be there. Malik Nabers may be there. Others may be there. That may be a way for them to address it. They could be one of the teams that possibly trades down if the run on quarterbacks goes 1, 2, 3, won't be at four unless the Cardinals trade out, but there could be an opportunity there to go back and get multiple receivers. You know, we've seen plenty of great receivers emerge from the draft in recent years. All the 7-on-7s, all the guys who are developing like never before, catching all those passes the quarterbacks are throwing, you can find decent receivers. And Jim Harbaugh has been plugged into the college game for the last decade. He knows who he's seen on the other side of the field and on his own team that makes him say that guy can play at the next level.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the benefits of having a guy who's got an extensive NFL career as a player, coached a team to a significant degree of success for 4 years at the NFL level, was an assistant at one point with the Raiders. That's how he broke in. He's been in college for every class that's coming out now. Every year, he's been there. So he knows. And he's going to know next year, and he's going to know the year after to a certain extent. He's in a great spot to help the front office and Joe Ortiz, the new GM, really focus on who to take, because he's walking around with the scouting reports from what he did week in and week out in his job the last 9 years. So I think that the willingness to move on from Allen and Williams tells you there's a degree of confidence there that Jim Harbaugh is going to know who to take and which round to take him to help that receiving depth chart improve.
Well, definitely. Definitely going to have, you know, inside looks like you talk about, had a feel for the college game, know guys where you go, yeah, he's not rated that high, but I saw him in person. He's a handful. You know, my Michigan DBs who were talented, right, it wasn't that easy against this guy right here. So, yeah, he's going to have some inside knowledge, let alone, you know, I don't think he's about that type of stuff anyways. And I mean that by, you know, Jim Harbaugh's not going to make it all about the quarterback and the receiver and, oh, let me have a receiver that's a big time, you know, I got to have the ball diva-ish type of guy, right, that we know a wide receiver can be. I don't think that's, you know, really what he wants, you know, ultimately. I know he had Michael Crabtree, right, in San Francisco. Now, he had come off an injury, I believe, right, if I remember that, and kind of fell into their lap.
He inherited him, too.
Right, he inherited him. That's why I was going to say that, but I'm going off the top of my head. You know, but after that, you think about it. Like, who were the other receivers on that team? It wasn't about that. You know, again, he's not going to make it about that. He's going to play balanced football. He's going to try to spread the wealth, I think, throughout the roster of his football team. And then at receiver, yeah, he's going to have good, but he's not going to be looking for, oh, I got to have Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson. I just don't imagine him, you know, that's never been his style. He's not about sexy air yards and do that. Look, he's got a quarterback last year that's going to be a top 12, top 15 pick of the draft. One of the receivers was my number five guy, Roman Wilson. He's going somewhere in the top 35 picks of the draft, right? So you got those two guys there, and he still said, well, we'll run the ball 30 straight times in the second half against Penn State. Right, so it's not about that, and that's where I don't think they're ever going to be a team that's going to be chasing the rabbit of, oh, superstar receiver, we got to have him, we'll pay $28 million for that. I just don't see them building their team like that there in Los Angeles.
Receivers on the 2011 49ers.
Yeah, good job,
that
Mike.
Was Jim Harbaugh's first year right. in San Francisco. Michael Crabtree, Ted Ginn Jr., Joe Hastings, Josh Morgan, I'm scrolling through the roster here alphabetically. Brett Swain, Kyle Williams. 49ers fans do not want to hear the name Kyle Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Two muff punts by him in the NFC Championship that opened the door for the G-Men to make it to the Super Bowl and to win it that year over the New England Patriots. Speaking of Harbaugh, 9 years in Michigan.
Yeah.
9 years in the same house in Michigan.
Right.
You accumulate a lot of stuff that you don't want to take with you to Southern California, apparently. And instead of giving it away, packing it up and sending it to Goodwill, distributing it to friends and family, you know what you do? You have a garage sale. Jim Harbaugh, $16 million a year with the Chargers, and he had a garage sale. We don't know whether or not he gave the money to charity. I assume he did. He's not doing it for the money. This is an effective way to get rid of your stuff, and it gives people who show up a chance to get some good stuff cheap. I'd like to think that that's the way Harbaugh would look at it. It's not about turning the stuff he's hoarded into money he can hoard. It's just an orderly way to move on from your stuff, and you reward the people who show up. There's a whole industry of folks who go from house to house every weekend looking for bargains, and I think he respects those people.
Yeah,
they roll out of bed attacking the day with an enthusiasm right. unknown to mankind for finding good deals at someone else's house, buying all their crap that they don't want anymore. I can see where Jim Harbaugh would have a ton of natural respect for people who would put in that effort going from house to house looking for anything they can find that they say, hey, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
I mean, you know, again, you don't want like strange people bringing you sandwiches that you don't know to eat. You know, I'm more of the like, I don't want strange people walking around my house and doing that type of stuff. But I guess he's not there. He's not got to deal with it. Right. So he's probably
moving.
He's
the
out
next
of there.
Owner can deal
it
with
doesn't
that.
Doesn't matter. Right.
The next
it
owner can deal with that.
I would think, you know, more times than not, like a guy of his status, to your point, would just go, let me donate it to this shelter or whatever and just give them all this stuff. I would hope he's not trying to turn around and make a profit. If he is,
I doubt that he is.
Then we gotta make fun of him a little bit. We do. We definitely
no,
do. But
I doubt that he is.
I know.
I think this is classic Jim Harbaugh. Like, well, why would I? I could see him like having the conversation with his wife. Hey, Jim, we should just pack all this stuff up and take it. Good. Well, why would we? People go all the time.
We don't need these winter clothes anymore. We're going to Los Angeles. Get these out of here.
Yeah.
Right.
These people put in a lot of effort to go to these houses and try to find these bargains. We have to contribute to that. This is their opportunity. Their ship has come in. But I do agree with the idea that, you know, depending upon how secluded the property is, all of a sudden you've introduced anyone and everyone who felt like showing up to poke around at the garage sale to, hey, this is a pretty nice house. So, maybe I'll come back here sometime. Maybe they'll leave a door unlocked. I'm not saying that the people who frequent garage sales would do that. It's just the whole idea of introducing strangers to your property.
Right.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win. Defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Okay,
right.
So anyway, I thought that was just kind of – that is just quintessential Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, if you told me any coach, like we'll do from time to time, hey, who's the coach most likely to wrestle a bear or whatever? Who's the coach most likely to have a garage sale? It's Jim Harbaugh, without question.
I think you're right. I think if I had to dissect it, you're right. I think he would lead the way for sure, lead the way. But, hey, to button it up, I would expect the Chargers with that, you know, that wide receiver position. Maybe they get another value signing here with one of the free agents that's on the street, right? And I would expect them to strike somewhere, to your point, third, fourth round. Hey, I got a look at this guy. People don't realize how good he is. I don't know. Let's try to grab him and go that way. That's what I expect. I don't expect the Chargers to be drafting a receiver at six. Five, whatever it was there. I don't expect that. It just doesn't seem like a Jim Harbaugh family type of move, you know, to start your tenure with the Chargers. It just doesn't.
One thing he could do is call up his old team, the 49ers, and see if they'd like to talk turkey on a trade for Brandon Ayuk, first-round pick in 2020, who's entering his fifth-year option and hasn't gotten an extension yet. It doesn't seem that the Chargers would go that route. However, Ayuk has become the focal point of some chatter. Andrew Filippone of 93.7 The Fan, I'll be on with him later today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Pittsburgh station I do every week. He said that sources say that the Steelers have explored the possibility of pursuing Ayuk, and then Ayuk goes on X and tweets at Mike Tomlin.
That is hilarious.
You wonder if Ayuk's trying to stir it up. What was the tweet? Do we have the tweet? Did he delete the tweet? He did not delete the tweet. At Coach Tomlin, they're saying we're twins. What do you think? That was the way that Ayuk tried to get the attention of Mike Tomlin. Hey, Steelers, here I am. You got a lot of cap space because you're only spending $3.6 million on your two quarterbacks, and I'd like to get myself a contract. And I don't know that the Steelers would even consider going that route, although they were going to bring in Mike Williams for a visit. They know how to go out and draft and develop young receivers.
Right.
They know how to do it.
Right.
And that's a lot of money that you would invest in Brandon Ayuk.
That's
but
right.
You have it this year. Because you're getting a couple of quarterbacks on the cheap. I don't think, though, this all goes back to garage sales and bargains. Like, once you have struck gold on a couple of bargains with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, assuming they end up playing well, even if they don't, it's a bargain, right? It's still a bargain. You're getting Justin Fields for 3-2 and Russell Wilson for 1-2. I misspoke earlier. They get two guys for under $4.5 million. That's a bargain no matter what they do. All of a sudden, you don't say, well, let's just blow all our remaining budget on a receiver. They start looking for more bargains. Like, well, hey, we're getting good at this. Let's go find some more bargains. Let's keep finding guys on the cheap that can end up being contributors. So it doesn't strike me as a situation where they would want to give Brandon Ayuk something. I don't even know what market value is.
Well,
I think there's two or three guys that are worth $30 million or more per year, and then there's everybody else.
Well, I think that's the big thing here with Brandon Ayuk, right? It's definitely one of the things that I got my eyes on. You know, again, it's the Super Bowl football team. It's a wide receiver that's really damn good, right? You know, he's looking at himself going, wait, I'm a number one, right? I was the best receiver on the 49ers this year, right? Debo's making 22-something. I should be making more. Right, so that price tag, what the 49ers, who they're paying, they got a lot of high-priced players on their football team. It's going to be interesting there, and I'm with you. I don't think that's a Pittsburgh type of move right now. Trade, right? They're a team that's kind of in, like, there's just last year is the first year you go, well, they filled some holes on the offensive line. They got some young defensive linemen. Let's see. I don't think they're in the spot of a franchise right now to go, hey, we're really good. Let's trade away a few assets and then, you know, get this receiver and pay him a bunch of money. That I don't see happening. And then, you know, with a guy like George Pickens too, you know, he's got a chance to be special. He probably wouldn't love if they brought in Brandon Ayuk and paid him big money and made him the number one guy either. So, you know, value deals. I think that's what you said it. You said it right. I could see them like being interested in, Mike Williams, because it was going to be $8, $9, $10 million that. But Brandon Ayuk's a whole different question. And he does really look like Mike Tomlin. I saw so many pictures online. It's hard to unsee it once you see it now. But I don't think that's happening, Mike.
Ayuk had 75 catches for 1,342 yards last year. That's an average of 17.9 per reception.
Yeah.
We're talking about
pretty
big,
big time.
Numbers like that
right.
with Mike Williams in his second season. Second team All-Pro was Brandon Ayuk as well. So it makes it expensive to keep him around. It's like 12, 13, 14 million or thereabouts for his fifth-year option this year. That's far short of where he should be. I really do think they're trying to hold it all together for one more year.
Yeah.
Hold it together with George Kittle. They restructured his contract, Debo and his deal. They got one last year of Brock Purdy before he's eligible for a second contract. I think they'd like to finesse this so Ayuk plays out that fifth-year option.
Yeah.
No, and so the question becomes, what do you do if you're not going to play it out with Brandon Ayuk? Because it's going to be one of these first round trades like AJ Brown a couple of years ago.
Right.
And with no one in the draft room, you know, doing the neck thing like Mike Vrabel, I think they'd have to be on board with moving on, and they would be on board with moving on. $14.12 million is the number, by the way, for Brandon Ayuk this year. So we'll see. But I think we're on the same page. The Steelers don't make sense. You know, and if they're going bargain shopping in Pittsburgh, we mentioned OBJ earlier. There was something about OBJ's overall vibe last year with the Ravens. Like, And maybe it's just the Ravens uniform. Maybe you put anybody in a Ravens uniform and they instantly look like bigger, badder, meaner, tougher. Maybe it would work for me. I don't know. But there was a different edge to just the overall image of OBJ last year. Like he just seemed a little bigger, a little badder. You know, not the young, fast guy that he was, not the guy making all the crazy catches, though he'd still like to make one-handed catches if he can. But you know what I'm saying? It had more of a just gritty vibe.
Yeah.
And that would fit with Pittsburgh. If they could get him, he could be the bargain that they eventually come around to when he sees that the market isn't out there at the number that he wants.
Right. What's he going to – I think the big thing with OBJ is just, you know, how much of his ego is he willing to check at the door, right, for you know, the price tag? That's the big thing. But, yeah, the Steelers and you know, for that type of player, I'm sure they would love OBJ. He could still do it all. You know, I think you kind of said it right. He's not your big play magician anymore, but he's still a really good route runner. He can still beat you deep. Right. And I think he's at a point of his career to what you're seeing and referring to of like he was happy to be out there. He's happy to be playing. He's happy to lead the young guys and be kind of a mentor in the locker room. You know, as we've talked about before, I know the Giants and the Browns didn't work out that right. But you're going to find a lot more people on those two teams in that locker room. They're going to go, man, I loved him. He was one of the best teammates I ever had in my life. He has that effect. He is a natural-born leader that way. And guys in the locker room do want to follow him, one, because, hey, they know how good he was in his prime. And then, two, they look at him and, you know, the popularity, the business ventures he's been able to create off the field, all of that, they want to gravitate towards that. Damn, he's dating Kim Kardashian. It's like, hey, let me hang out with you. Can I hang out with the Kardashians? So he is, you know, a star among stars. But, yeah, right price, I'm with you that he would fit in Pittsburgh.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that hanging out with the Kardashians is really a draw for
Well, I'm being funny. It would be to me. I'd be like, damn, sure. I mean, okay. You get to go see Kim Kardashian in person and Kylie Jenner and, you know, that whole group there. I don't know. I'd be down for that. I think they're, you know, they're pretty big time. They're pretty as well, right? So they got some things that I like.
OBJ. In Pittsburgh would be something.
Yes.
That would be something. With Russell Wilson, with Justin Fields, with George Pickens, with that defense, that would be something. And if I'm him, I'm waiting to see what happens with the draft because I want to end up
you gotta
somewhere
find your spot.
Where I'm confident. Right. I know who the quarterback is.
Right.
I know who I'm going to be catching passes from. But I got a lot of respect for the fact that last year he was content to just be.
Right.
And he's never been like – I think his image and the reality of him on a team, on the field, in the locker room is so different. And part of it's his own fault. He was young when this all happened. He got sucked into the vortex of NFL fame before he could really understand what was going on.
In
that
New
catch
York.
That he made when he was a rookie.
Right.
And he became just such a guy, bigger than the game, larger than life. We go to Europe. Remember there was that video of him? He got up on a car, didn't he? Like, there were people around him everywhere in Europe. Like, he became this international superstar. It was just bizarre how quickly it happened.
Right.
But he's always been, I think, a good teammate, to your point. They love him. The teammates love him. He's a great locker room guy. And last year, he didn't complain. His numbers were not great last year. He didn't complain. He unlocked 1 million of the 3 million that were available to him in incentives. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, I want the ball more. There was never any, you know, leaks, Sunday splash reports.
Never.
No interviews done with Lil Wayne sitting next to him. Was it Lil Wayne that was sitting next
to him? Yeah, it was. It was Lil Wayne when he said the things about Eli Manning. That was one of the, you know, probably one of the biggest mistakes he made of his career, right?
Yeah. I still remember that. I still like we're watching the
pregame
shows
and we were like, what?
And all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? Yeah, in ESPN? Let's put on the sound on ESPN right now, please.
Right. Josina Anderson's interviewing OBJ and Lil Wayne. Hold on a second here. We gotta hear this. And it didn't, you know, disappoint. He delivered there. But yeah, I'm with you for all those things you said. And it seems like he's at a point of his career where he just wants to be on a team. He wants to contribute. He knows he's not going to be the number one guy. He knows he could still play too. So we'll see where it goes from there. But hey, Mike, let me just to change the subject here just a little bit, because I think this is something to watch out for and not changing it totally. But the Aiyuk situation with San Francisco, I think that has a chance to be a real pain in the ass for the 49ers. I really do. You know, again, he's tweeting out things to another coach right now. I mean, does that tell you that he's ready to – he wants to be paid? He wants something aggressive? I mean, that's – you know, like I said, he's looking at it going, wait. I'm better than Deebo Samuel, right? The 49ers also got to be a little bit like, you know, when we play really good defenses with man-to-man corners like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, Deebo Samuel can't get open, right? That's the Deebo Samuel knock right now, that when you play teams that got really good corners and can play man-to-man, he can't separate that way. Aiyuk is their separation guy. He is their guy. We need a big play against the Lions in the NFC Championship game. Throw it deep to Aiyuk. He's that guy. Right? He's the guy that Shanahan, I know this, he values route runners. He always has. Aiyuk is a very good route runner. He can do all the intricate little routes that Shanahan's deemed so necessary in his offense. So that's where I look at that one there and go, I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out, where this goes, because this has a feel of a guy that's going, I don't want my fifth-year option, and I should be making top tier of the market type of money as a number one receiver, and I don't know if the 49ers can make that happen. That's what I'm going to be interested to see, Mike.
And even though he was taken in the 20s and wouldn't have gotten gigantic money pre-rookie wage scale, the whole idea of this is we transformed the system to make sure that the busts don't take off with a bunch of money. The guys who get drafted in round one and turn into great players need to get paid. After their third year, ideally. After their fourth year, definitely. I don't think it's fair to expect guys to play on that fifth-year option. And if there was one thing that I was going to reasonably try to change if I'm the NFLPA, it's to get rid of that fifth-year option altogether. If you're a first-round pick, if you're picked in any round, it should be a four-year commitment. There should not be an ability to squat on that guy for a fifth year and deny him the long-term deal that he has earned. If you want to use the franchise tag, fine. Keep your franchise tag. You're never going to give it up anyway. But why do you need to have a fifth-year option on a first-round pick? Why are guys punished by being first-round picks? It's better to be the first pick in round two than the last pick in round one.
Right.
Because the first pick in round two isn't strapped by the fifth-year option. If anything, the fifth-year option should only be available for like the top five guys who get a lot more money than the rest of the round. The guys at the bottom of the round get screwed by the fifth-year option.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's another one. It's BS, and I hope that's one where the NFLPA and the next negotiation can look at that and go, we got to take that away. That's not right for our players. It doesn't. And again, like you talk about, it's the most physical team sport in the world. And, you know, just for a bunch of owners who don't want to risk very much and not want to take chances themselves, they love to throw guys out there and go, hey, roll the dice on yourself for your future and in your economic future and security. And, you know, we both hate that. We both do.
Well, and look, they've set the precedent. Look how Deebo Samuel got his deal after three NFL seasons, going into the fourth and final year of his rookie deal because he wasn't a first-round pick.
Exactly.
All that stuff from a couple of years ago.
Right.
And remember, they're going through the
club.
And
right.
Somebody was holding the sign about Deebo Samuel stays with the 49ers. He's doing this.
Yeah.
And it was clear. I mean, he did what he had to do to get paid.
Yep.
And this may be the first little venture, the first little pebble in the pond by Brandon Aiyuk to just start to make waves aimed at getting him the contract that he deserves. And you may get some angry messages from Kyle Shanahan, but he probably knows it too. He's probably working against some people in the organization. I'm just guessing here. You know, the coach wants what the coach wants, but you got the bean counters who want to count beans in a certain way and make sure that, you know, they take full advantage of their rights. It's all about the collective bargaining agreement. It gives us a series of rights and responsibilities, and we take full advantage of those rights, and we have the right to employ him this year at $14.12 million, and we intend to exercise that right. Fine. He intends to exercise his rights, too.
Yeah.
And he's got the right to go on X and start up a conversation with Mike Tomlin.
Right.
And maybe slide into his DMs at some point, as the kids say. So,
look at you. You're all cool and stuff. I know. Hey, listen, the 49ers is going to be interesting to see what they do. Again, when you say it out loud, right, you start to go, right, they're getting to that point where they've been so good for a period of time here where they got a lot of high-priced contracts. I mean, they got the highest paid running back in football. They got the highest paid left tackle in football. They got, what, one of the highest paid tight ends in football. Deebo Samuel's up there at wide receiver, right? They got Fred Warner's the highest paid linebacker in football. You got Javon Hargrave, who's one of the highest paid D tackles in football. And you got Nick Bosa, who is the highest paid defensive end in football. I mean, how many guys can you pay? At what point do you start to go, wait, we're sacrificing the full roster and depth on the roster and a little leeway and security here and there to be very top heavy? And that's where the 49ers, hey, it's you know, rich people problems, right? But at the same time, they're problems nonetheless, and they're certainly in that right now.
And they got a great young quarterback who, again, isn't even eligible for a second contract until after the completion of the 2024 regular season. They got to deal with that as well. They got a budget. They got to save. And I think that this is probably the last year for George Kittle. I think that it could be the last year for Deebo Samuel. See, I think what they're just trying to do is keep it together for one more year.
Right.
We got Purdy at the last pick in the draft, rookie wage scale contract. Ayuk, can we get him to play for 14.12? We can reallocate some of these other resources. We don't have to move on from any of these guys if we can pull this off. We can hold it all together on both sides of the ball. We can do one more run at the top of the mountain under the final affordable year of the Brock Purdy contract. Let's try to do that. And if they can avoid paying Brock or Brandon Ayuk a massive deal, that helps them in their objective.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to be able to finesse it because he doesn't care about that. He cares about getting compensated fairly for what he's done and what he's going to do in his fifth NFL season. Speaking of getting compensated fairly, a lot of knocks on Jerry Jeudy, a first-round pick of the Broncos, who was traded to the Browns after some trade chatter the past couple of years. He and Steve Smith had a little back and forth that Jeudy has not really lived up to his draft pedigree. 3-year extension worth up to, there's up to again, up to, hey, get back to work, up to $58 million with $41 million guaranteed at signing. That means injury guarantees and full guarantees. Anytime they say just guaranteed, that means everything, so it's really not guaranteed. Still, those numbers are surprising for a guy who's never played for the Browns. They don't know what he's going to do. They're making a commitment to him over a period of 4 years now, and it's probably 2 years, and then they can move on if they need to. But still, it's a significant financial commitment for a guy who people look at as not a bust, just kind of in that limbo, that purgatory between boom and bust, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
He hasn't been great. He hasn't been awful. He's just kind of been there. And he's been good enough to play for the Broncos, but he hasn't been good enough to get people to say, well, I know why they took him instead of Justin Jefferson, instead of Brandon Ayuk. I know why they took him. So he's gotten his new contract instead of playing under the fifth-year option from a different team. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Brandon Ayuk is trying to get the attention of Mike Tomlin. He sees Jerry Jeudy. He's like, if Jerry Jeudy can get this, what can I get?
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly right. I mean, that's what Brandon Ayuk's looking and going, wait, Jerry Jeudy? He's getting 20. He's going to get, you know, 2 years, $20.5 million, you know, each of those first 2 years. And that 40, because that's what it is, right? It's a 2-year, $41 million contract. And we'll see what he can do with the rest of it after that. But yeah, Ayuk's looking at that and going, wait. I've done more than that. So I want something significantly more. That brings us back to the 49ers problems. With Cleveland, though, Mike, I think you're saying it right. To me, here with Jerry Jeudy, again, everybody, this is another one. Like we talked about yesterday with the receivers, he was anointed the king of that class. He was the number one receiver, no doubt about it, right? All the people who aren't qualified to make qualifying statements, Jerry Jeudy is the can't-miss prospect. He has it all, right? And again, there was guys like me that were like, no, he's like the fourth or fifth receiver in the draft. He's not Justin Jefferson or some of these other guys. He's real good. But I think that's led to this, my point of this over, you know, oh, he's the number one guy, blah, 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 all that. led to this, like, oh, now he's a bust because he hasn't been a superstar or hasn't had a season like CeeDee Lamb did, who was also, you know, in his draft, right? You know, he's never had a season like CeeDee Lamb or the ones like Justin Jefferson. So that hurts him in the eyes of people. But I'll say this. I think he's a really damn good receiver. I really do. He's not those guys. No, he's not Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson. But he's damn good, Mike. You know, he can do it all. And I think Cleveland probably broke down the film a little bit and went, wait, we like what this guy can do. We can have a little future with him and Deshaun Watson. He does everything well, right? The situation he was in Denver was not very good. It was not very conducive, you know, to a lot of success for a lot of different reasons ever since he got drafted there. And he has had some success. He's dealt with a few injuries and all that. But I can understand it. I don't think it's a crazy contract or investment, you know, for this player. I think he's a little bit better than he's getting credit for out there on social media and in the public.
Numbers never lie,
yeah,
as they say. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, we mentioned this earlier, but this is just a way of refreshing.
Right.
16 games last year,
right.
16 starts, 75 catches, 1,342 yards, and 7 touchdown receptions. Jerry Jeudy, 16 games last year, 11 starts, 54 catches, 758 yards and 2 touchdowns. So production, it's a production business, and the production not there to the level of Brandon Ayuk. Not like about 65%, 60-65% of the yardage. So this, it's not a knock on Jeudy. The Browns can do whatever they want to do. Maybe they envision a way that this is going to explode for him and it's finally going to work and he's going to have 1,300 yard seasons. But Ayuk has. This just explains why Ayuk is trying to come up with a strategy. And this is kind of a passive-aggressive. It's not the Deebo Samuel experience yet.
Right.
But it is just enough to send a message. And maybe his plan is, I'll try to send a message this way first. We got a month or so until the draft. We'll see how this resonates. We'll see if they start talking to my agents. And if they don't, maybe I'll be a little more aggressive. And maybe I'll be a little more aggressive after that. And maybe at the end of the day, I'll ask to be traded right before the draft, and one of these teams that's thinking about drafting a receiver will trade for me instead.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying there. You know, it'll be interesting to see where that goes with San Francisco. But, yeah, this gives Ayuk a lot more ammo, that's for sure, right? And, hey, to give a Jerry Jeudy a fair defense here, too. Listen, he didn't play on the 49ers, right, with that football team and the best running game in football and all that type of stuff to get afforded some of the luxuries Brandon Ayuk has had. You know, all the other people they got to worry about on that offense. Wait, we're worried about Deebo. We're worried about Kittle. Oh, man, Ayuk's down the middle one-on-one against our safety. Oh, no. Jerry Jeudy didn't have that. He's got none of that, let alone he had a quarterback. You know, he had, you know, a quarterback where the head coach, Sean Payton, got rid of him because, wait, we can't even run our full offense. I can't even use Jerry Jeudy to full capacity. And, hey, Jerry Jeudy, as we mentioned during the year and stuff, he's open a lot more than he got the ball, too. And now I'm not trying to say he's a superstar, but I don't dislike this move by Cleveland. You know, Amari Cooper last year there probably in Cleveland, they got a guy to replace him and a little nucleus going forward there that I can get behind because I do think Jerry Jeudy's a well-rounded, you know, can do it all type of wide receiver.
The quarterback who's been throwing passes to Jerry Jeudy the past 2 years
good.
Is the guy who is slated to be the starter in Pittsburgh, where Brandon Ayuk apparently would like to go. So, caveat emptor, as they say. Let's take a break. When we return, the Dynasty series is out, all episodes available on Apple TV Plus or Apple Plus TV. It's one of the two. A couple of guys who were on the inside at New England, on the inside of the filming of the Dynasty, and who are on the inside now at NBC Sports, talked about it yesterday and made a few waves. We'll react to their reaction to the Dynasty next here on PFT Live.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.